Today at the Radio Backyard Fence, it is the return of a man named Claus. He was born on Thanksgiving Day, 1955 at high noon. And today he shares his heart for Native American people. He is the president of CHIEF, which stands for Christian Hope Indian Eskimo Fellowship. CHIEF began 50 years ago with the goal of transforming lives and communities through the power of the gospel among Native American and First Nations peoples. There's encouragement, there's some challenge straight ahead on the program as we welcome back Huron Claus. Thanks for joining us today, and thanks to our friends who are helping out behind the scenes. Ryan McConaughey is doing all things technical. Lisa's here. Trish is our producer. Josh will be answering your calls today. And if you have given in support of this program, thank you. One of the best things we do at Moody Radio is expose you to ministries and people and ideas that you may not encounter elsewhere. So the person who has given in support of today's conversation may have a direct impact on somebody else who's listening who might want to get involved in the ministry of CHIEF. Let's see what happens. If you would like to support us, we have less than 2 weeks left here in November in our offer of one of the most fun and creative thank yous we've ever given. A week ago, Joe Sutphin talked about his artwork, his creativity, the drawing he did as a child, and that led him now to become an illustrator of a number of books. And if you give a gift today, we're going to put the Little Christmas Carol coloring and activity book in the mail for you or for a child you know or a grandchild. I like to think of this as a way to move a child away from a screen to a page. There's just something calming about the mazes and the crossword puzzles and the word jumbles, as well as the coloring with crayons and colored pencils that you can do. You kind of get lost in that. Will you call or click through and support us? Here's the number, 866-95-FABRY, 866-953-2279. Or you can go to the website and scroll down. You'll see that activity book, the coloring book right there, Little Christmas Carol. Go to chrisfabrylive.org. Chris Fabry, F-A-B-R-Y, chrisfabrylive.org. Huron Claus is president of CHIEF Incorporated and is a fifth-generation follower of Jesus. He comes from the Mohawk and Kiowa tribes of New York and then Oklahoma. The Claus Indian family has ministered through evangelism and music in Native communities and villages across North, Central, and South America. Go to the website, click through today's information. You can see a link there to CHIEF and some great information. Huron, welcome back. How are you today?
It's good to be back. It's been a while, but I always look forward to talking with you, Chris.
I love airing your program on Thanksgiving because we recorded this in the studio and you sang a song at the end. It's like, this is the perfect Thanksgiving program. But I don't think I knew that you were born on Thanksgiving Day, right at high noon.
Yes, yes. I always have a story behind that. Among our Native American people, they give names at certain ages. And when I was about 12 years old, my grandfather, the family came together, about 150 of us. We had teepees, all of that. And they said, Huron, your English name is Huron Claus, but today we're going to give you a new name. And your new name in Kiowa, my mother's language, is Kee Saw. And that means at noon. And I thank my grandpa. I said, you could have called me Turkey, but you called me Keesaw. So I wear that with honor.
Yes. Now, the yes. Mohawk tribe, you spoke at Wheaton yes. College recently. The Mohawk was one of the yes. first tribes to hear the gospel. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. I know it was in 2021, I was invited in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and there they were celebrating the 400-year celebration. And that was one of the first contacts of the gospel with Native peoples. That was in 1620. It was the Wapano Indians. And then back in the 1700s, you started seeing individuals like David Brainerd and others that were really had a heart for Native people. And it was there that David Brainerd came and shared the gospel among our Mohawk people, one of the Eastern tribes. It was also in Canada that the Queen of England built the very first chapel for the Mohawks and for First Nations people. And it was there that my great-great-great-grandfather, he was a chief that came to know the Lord. So for me, I can look at five generations of those that have put their trust and faith in the Lord. And it's been very moving and humbling to see that, how God works within families.
When you read about David Brainerd, his life, his ministry, what did that do inside you?
When I was reading, first of all, I was impressed because he was a young man, and he was just in his teens when he felt God calling him. And then to read in his diary, and I'll never forget, it was noted December 21st that he prayed that the Mohawks would understand the glory of God, that they would receive the glory of God among their people. And when I read that, I wept because I, like I just said, for five generations, I've seen God's faithfulness. And to see how God took my dad's life and just really challenged him in the area of evangelism and discipleship among our native peoples. And today now we're reaching tens of thousands of native peoples from Alaska right down to South America. So it was very moving. It's an example to people is don't give up on people. You keep praying for them. And as I share, I always say, I wish I have a conversation with David Brainerd and said, thank you for that prayer, because it truly answered among our people, the Mohawks.
And yet, statistically, you were mentioning to me just before we went on the air, statistically, yes, the numbers of Native American people who have responded positively to the gospel are relatively, I mean, it's something like 5% of all. Is that true?
Right. That's right. That's right. It's when you stop and think, and this was what really challenged my father in his 40s to realize that our nation has had the gospel for hundreds of years, and the banner of Christ has been lifted up. But why is it that among our native people, it is less than 95% that said that they have never embraced Christ? And really, a key portion of that is the message, how it was presented. And was it understandable? Was it received? Was it presented in the picture of the good news of the gospel?
Well, so, isn't it partly the messenger, too? The messengers,
yes,
got in the way in a lot of ways. Yep. Okay, I want to come back and ask you that after we take a break. I really hope that there's somebody listening today who has never heard of Chief. You didn't know about this ministry that has now been around for 50 years. Huron Claus is the president of Chief, and you can find out more about what they do and how they do it across the U.S., as well as, you know, all of North America and South America, Alaska as well. And if you go to chrisfabrylive.org, click through today's information, you'll see a link right there, chrisfabrylive.org. Huron Claus is back with us today, president of Chief. You can find out more about him at the website. And I'm going to open the lines, too, if you have a question or a comment. You have any good news about Native American ministry, about people who are responding to the gospel? 877-548-3675 is our number. 877-548-3675. Why is it 95% say, no, I don't want anything to do with the gospel, or they haven't responded to it positively? And I often wonder if it's not partly the messenger rather than the message. Though the message, too, it gets mixed up with, well, that's Jesus is a white man's God. He's not for us. But I also wonder if the pain of the past and the trail of tears and all of the injustice that was done to Native Americans and the, you know, cheating out of land and putting on reservations and the Indian schools, you know, take away your heritage. You can't speak that language anymore. You know, we just go on and on and on. You know, is that one of the main reasons for people who are Native Americans not to respond to the, you know, the forgiveness from Jesus?
Yes. Well, it's a powerful message, I would say. There's a lot of hurt and pain when we talk about that. And I hear this all the time from our people, is the history of the pain that was upon our people. But where I'm challenged in this, a lot of the discussion of this, is that when we stop and realize that God, our Creator, did not just create our Native American people or our white people where there's differences and divide, but He created all. And you see the message of the gospel, and I think even too how it has been expressed is a big challenge, is when we look and realize that the God that we serve is a God of relationship. I often say, Chris, if I were to describe our Native people in one word, it would be relationship. We're very relational people. And so to realize that God is a God of relationship, and He has built a relationship with His creation, no matter who it is, whether we're white, black, red, whoever it is, what has challenged me as a follower of Christ is to see the principles that God teaches us through His word and how those principles apply for every one of us. And when I stop and look at that, those things that are taught in the word of God, that is what has really strengthened my walk with the God of relationship. And again, the whole picture, the true picture of the Bible is to realize, and I always share this to my people, I says, you can look at creation where God created all His creation, and it's beautiful, and it's diversified, and all of this, but it's because of sin. And a lot of times, the issue of sin, when we talk about that among our Native people, they say, Huron, you know what? We really don't have a word for sin in our mother tongue. So help us understand what sin is. And I know, looking at the Greek and all, it talks about missing the mark. But again, it seems like it's missed the mark for our Native people. And when I talk to them, I says, you know, when I look at sin in a God of relationship, it really talks about separation. Sin is the great separator. And you can look at it separated us from the Creator. I says, from after Genesis chapter 3, you look in the Old Testament and you see story after story of brokenness, broken relationship. But when you see the message of Christ, I says, there's the beauty, because there the Creator God has given His greatest gift, and we are gift givers among our Native people, but His greatest gift was His Son, Jesus Christ. And as I have conversation with our Native people, often they say, that's the white man's religion, white man's God. I say to them, you know what? Is it possible that we have become the greatest offense to the Creator God by not accepting His gift? Because in our culture, to honor and to respect, we give gifts. The greatest offense is to reject a gift. Mm, wow. And I'll tell you what, that conversation has led to some outstanding conversations, seeing people come to know the Lord among our people.
Now, you didn't have to get over the hurdle. Your father was a real strong believer, and we're going to talk about mm-hmm. him and his work, because he was there when Chief began 50 years
yes.
ago. But then
yes.
three, four generations before that, do you have any idea how your great-great-great-grandfather got over that hurdle that you're just talking about?
Well, the Lord brought my great-great-grandfather through a very spiritual encounter, is what I would say. That's another thing among our Native people. We're a very spiritual people. And dealing with the spirit world. In our worldview, there is belief in good and evil in the spirit world. And it came to a point where among our people, among the Mohawks, his wife had passed. And through an experience, he was dealing where when our native people get into extreme traditional beliefs, they are taught to take the life of a loved one or even a relative. And he realized he was in that situation. And it was at that moment that he prayed to the Lord. And he said, if you are the God of the Bible, if you are the Holy One, I want to give my life to you. And that was his point of commitment to the Lord. And it was amazing how God used that experience, not only for him personally, but it was a very powerful example to his people as well.
Every novel that I read, story, film that I watch that includes something about Native Americans, if they do it well, usually includes what you just described, some kind of evil spirit or a nod to the dead who are troubled, who are haunting certain areas or places, or the spirit in the trees, in nature, in, you know, in the animal kingdom. And so that's a very much a part of the, I'm sure it's different for the for different tribes, but it's very much a part of just the makeup, the mindset, right?
Right. That's right. That's right. And often I have heard both from young and old that, you know, we need to see the power of God demonstrated in and through our native people, through different experiences. And we've seen that happen. And again, all praise and glory to the Lord for things that, that take place like that.
So but, a person who's in, who's coming from a background like yours, who comes to Jesus, because you, and we can go into your story as well. You were a teenager and you believed in God. You believed what your dad, you know, had taught you. And you kind of grew up in church, but there was a point at which you said, wait a minute, you had prayed for forgiveness 1,000 times or a million times.
Oh yeah, every time. Yep. Yeah. That's right.
But there was a time when you was like, no, wait a minute. If this is true, if this is real,
I need more.
God deserves more than just a nod from me, right?
That's right. That's right. Well, again, it was a point where I had to recognize, even though I came from a Christian background, and it was a personal decision to really make a commitment to the Lord. And for me, it was when I was a young man that I made that commitment, that conversion to the Lord. I think even more so when I was involved in ministry, and there was a life-threatening experience that I experienced in Peru, which was quite a story. But it was really literally to the point where individuals were coming to take the lives of the native people there, and myself included. And I had to ask myself, Huron, you've talked this, you've preached this. Do you really believe this? And I'll tell you, it was a life-changing moment for me. And I said, yes, Lord, even if this is the day that I'm going to be in your presence, I want you to know that I've given it all. I've submitted it all to you. And I'll tell you that that was just life-changing for me. And you experiencing it right now is where I experience these tender moments with the Lord. And I see his presence and I see his power and I see the change of native lives. And all that does is just strengthen my faith in who the Lord is and what he says he's going to do in our lives and in the lives of all peoples. So it's amazing. It's amazing.
Who was trying to get you in Peru? Who was after?
Well, again, that's a story. There is a dear brother, Quechua, and they are the largest native tribe in the Western Hemisphere. There are 30 million within 4 countries of South America. And there was a young man that was about my age. His name was Romulo Sanye. And back in the 80s, the gospel came to that people. Missionaries came. The native people responded tremendously. But also in the 80s, communism came. And there was a teaching in the universities from China. And there was a revolution that took place within that country. The missionaries, a number of mission organizations encouraged their missionaries to leave the country. And it was there that my friend Romolo Saunier, he was impacted by Wycliffe translators that had come to that country, teaching them to translate the Word of God. He fell in love with the Word of God and with his people. He translated the scriptures. Long story short, Billy Graham used him in crusades in Peru. Bill Bright used him for the Jesus film. HCJB used him. And it was back in 82, Chief had a leadership conference. Over 300 leaders come from North, Central, South America. I met him. I had a chance to talk to him. And I found out he was telling me about his people. He says, Huron, pray for me. Pray for the salvation of our people. And I found out he was the number one marked man to be killed by this group, the Shining Path. So he says, pray for me. And I said, Romolo, how can you live knowing that you could die any moment? He says, two things. I have to know that I am right before Almighty God every day. And then secondly, he says, I have learned that I am immortal up to the minute that God chooses to take me home. And man, again, that was something that just challenged me, challenged my life. Through the ministry of Chief, we have met different Native individuals like this. And they have changed not only individuals' lives, but they've changed nations for the Lord. And it's just a joy to know some of these dear folk.
What happened to Romolo?
He was martyred. Eventually, he was martyred. In 1982, we had another, or 92, we had another conference. After that conference, we went to Israel. Chief was invited to Israel by the leader there within the country. And we took 10 Native leaders from 10 different countries in there. We shared Christ with them. That was an incredible experience. Nobody told us we couldn't lift up Jesus. We did it, okay, as Native Americans in our regalia and all of our songs and things like that. And it was in September of 92 that Romolo was killed back in Peru. He had food, clothing he was taking to his people in the village, the high Andes areas. And when he came back, and I've experienced this when I've been to Peru, but you will have soldiers that will stop and check your passport, your papers. And he was in a church bus with a number of people coming back from the villages in there in Peru to Ayacucho, one of the hometowns. There were over 200 soldiers that stopped him. And when they checked their papers, they found Romolo. And it was at that point that they shot Romolo and several of his family, 23 young people in that village. After his death at his funeral service, there were over 5,000 people that came, a lot of his own people, the guerrillas, and even the government leaders. And the mother said that was Romolo's most powerful message he ever preached, was when he gave his life for the sake of the gospel.
Just that story right there shows the power of the gospel. It shows how, because after he died, there was this resurgence. You think you're going to kill the movement by killing the messenger, and you do not. And I think part of that is because of what he truly believed in. It was the power of the Word of God for the people, you know, who are reading it, to take that in and then to live it out, right?
Yes, yes, that is so true. And you know what? I just shared that. You know this, Chris. I was at Wheaton College speaking to 2,000 students, and this was after Charlie Kirk had been killed. And I said, to the students, I says, you know, after 50 years of ministry, seeing what God's done, I can see where God has come full circle, and he could do that the same thing in the young people today within our nation. But we need individuals that their faith and their hope is in Jesus Christ and the work of Christ in the Bible. Yes. And God will do mighty things for us in our nation.
What I hear you saying is that you need more, and as I've looked at your website, you need more Native American leaders. But that doesn't mean that there aren't others on the outside that can't come alongside and help, because even your life has been informed by Tori Johnson, who was at a church in Chicago and who helped your dad. You talked about Billy Graham and his idea, his vision for the Native American people. So when we come back, I want to talk more about that history, about what God is doing today, signs that you see that he is moving among your people. And if you have a question or comment, love to hear from you. 877-548-3675. Go to the website chrisfabrylive.org. You'll see more about Chief and the president of Chief Huron Claws. chrisfabrylive.org. Huron Claws from Chief is with us today. We'll get right back to the celebration of 50 years of gospel outreach through that ministry. And you can find out more about it when you go to our website, chrisfabrylive.org. Another that's celebrating 50 years in the Pro Abundant Life ministry is CareNet. They have been for more than a million lives. They have been instrumental in saving more than a million lives and have seen that kind of changed life as well because of their work. As part of their Pro Abundant Life vision, they are offering you absolutely free a devotional titled Praying Through Advent. This Christmas, as you make all the preparations and the celebrations about the Word made flesh, you will be reminded through this devotional that God meets us right there in the middle of our uncertainty. He writes redemption into our stories. If you go to chrisfabrylive.org, click the green CareNet link, and you can download Praying Through Advent, experience the wonder of God's greatest story, and join in praying for life and hope through Him. Click the green CareNet link at chrisfabrylive.org to download Praying Through Advent. ChrisFabryLive.org, where you'll also find out about Chief. If this is the first time you're hearing about it, you got to go to their website. You got to click the link. You got to see the faces and the ministry that has gone on again for 50 years. Huron is president of Chief. Let me throw a couple of things at you here. You mentioned the power of God's word. There are Bibles that have been translated to speak specifically to the Native American reader. What do you think about those translations?
Well, there are a number of Bibles, of course, that have been translated in languages to our people. There have been English versions that have been printed. Most recently is a Bible that has been used as an evangelism tool for our Native people. I think of another one in ministry where the missionary had worked with the Alaska Natives, and it is probably the most received, the New Life Version Bible, and it's more of a study Bible. So it... A lot of times I'm asked, you know, about these Bibles. What do you think about them? You know, and just like any Bible, and it is translated in the language. Keep in mind, though, that we have over 574 languages. So we're talking about 574 nations just in the U.S. And so how it's communicated, I think, is what's really important. Without compromising, I think, the names and the stories of the Bible. And really, most important, like I said, is the principles, the truth of the Bible, is and how it is applied to the nations all over. That's what I think. So I would say, when you look at, the question that might be asked me is, what Bible Huron would you use for Native people? Well, I would say a Bible that communicates the Word of God, the message of God, and in story form. you know, telling the stories of the Bible, but most important, lifting up the person and the work of Christ that we can't compromise is what I would say.
You took the question right out of my mouth. That's what I was going to ask you. So thank you for doing that. Some of the problems then that have plagued the Native American communities, reservations, or you told me before, a lot of urban areas have Native Americans living in there. There's not on a reservation, but right there in urban areas, like in Chicago, but there aren't really outreaches and ministries to them, right?
That's right. That's right. You know, again, when we think of Native American First Nations people, again, we have stereotypes, just like with everybody, because we don't know a people group. We might have a picture in our mind of that group. But and that picture often is the movies where they're out on the reservation, they're riding horses and teepees, and yet there are diversity of nations. There's diversity of foods and stories and tribes, things like that. But in reality, too, a majority, over 70% of our Native people now live in the cities. I am from Phoenix, Arizona. There are over 140,000 Native peoples in Phoenix. There are probably about 15 to 20 churches. And when we get together, whether it be Christmas or Easter, we may draw 2 to 3,000 Native Christians. So in my own city, that shows the need of the gospel for Phoenix. In Chicago, I had mentioned to you, Chris, there's 60,000. And this is where we've partnered alongside of different colleges, Wheaton, Judson, Moody, and seeing ways of getting reaching out to the Native communities in the city or drawing the youth for education. Those are other examples. So those are pictures that we don't hear or see much. And if I were to ask the person, the listener, to pray, that would be one of the main prayers is how can we reach the Native peoples in our own cities, our own backyards?
Does it take, though, you know, because Dr. Vedelnik and I have talked a lot about this, about, you know, reaching out to Jewish people with the gospel. And a lot of times a Jewish person who's come to Jesus has an entree to a Jewish person that another, you know, someone who's not from a Jewish background who can move in there and have a conversation, because there's so much culture that is involved in that, you know. So is it the same thing with a Native American? If somebody who comes from a European background like I do, would they listen to someone like me who cares about them, or would that be a stumbling block?
Well, my message to you as, quote, the white person or Caucasian is that we need to really demonstrate the kingdom of God going into our communities. And it's because, again, as I mentioned, so often our Native people say that's the white man's religion, that's the white man's God. But you know what? The gospel is not the white man's religion. The gospel is for all nations. And so I think, and this is, I love this. And I welcome, when I talk with different individuals, I said, we need to show the light of Christ to our Native people. And what do I mean by that? I think of, case in point, the Jewish people. The Jewish people have traditions and customs just like our Native American people. The Jewish people are a very spiritual people, just like our Native Americans. But again, there is a group that is very similar, are the Asian people. I've been to Mongolia and I've been to Korea, and I'm amazed of the similarities of our people. I was in Africa in January ministering to tribal people. And again, the similarities. So I would say the next time you come to our Native American people, I would encourage the diversity of the kingdom of God to come to our people. And that's where we see lives changed, because they then see the similarities of those people. They then see the challenges that those people have made and how God has lifted them up when they lift up Christ. So so that would be my word to missions today with our type of group of people.
It's a great word. Here on Claws, again, President of Chief. Find out more at chrisfabrylive.org. Brad is in St. Louis. Hi, Brad. Go right ahead.
Chris, thank you so much for your program. You're doing a great job of interviewing our friend Huron. Again, my name's Brad. I'm a pastor here in St. Louis, working a lot with university students, and Huron has been so helpful for us. St. Louis is known as the Mound City, the Hokie Mounds, and a lot of discussions with our students, both Native American and university students here in St. Louis, Huron, related to the Crazy Horse Memorial in South Dakota. It seems like people seem to like to gravitate toward that. And so could you give a little background about who Crazy Horse was, the memorial, and maybe how you would go about sharing the gospel through that illustration?
Yes. Well, there are many chiefs, I think, of history that have great history, great heritage. And Crazy Horse is one of those. I think of Sitting Bull. Now, these are all Sioux chiefs. Red Cloud. And again, to hear their stories of how they came to know the Lord. Some of them have accepted Christ. I have a dear friend that actually is a descendant, I believe, of Sitting Bull. And when we were at this celebration that we had in Massachusetts in 2021 of the Thanksgiving, this brother came and he had a Bible. And it's a big Bible. And he says, I'm a relative of Sitting Bull. And he showed me the Bible, his Bible. And it was a blood-stained Bible. And it was amazing. But again, example of these men that have come to know the Lord. So they've gone through much. I think of the Sioux, the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota. It is one of the most neediest areas within all the different reservations. They have been, they have struggles, challenges of alcoholism and drug addictions and just things like that. But, and I've seen the government go in and help. I've seen even churches do their best to help. But where I've seen it's been most received is when they have seen Native Christians come to know the Lord and share their stories of hope or share their stories of change. And again, like I'm saying, it's not just our Native people serving Native people, but where they are going alongside with the Hispanics and with the Asian groups and serving in those communities. It might be just serving the elders or serving the tribal council. They're demonstrating the love of Jesus to those people. And when they see that, that has been an open door for many of our people to really embrace Christ into their
lives.
That's
one of the things that I wanted to come out of this program here on is that people would go to your website and they would start to just begin to pray about the things that you're talking about, to raise up leaders, to raise up those who would tell their stories, share their stories with other Native Americans about their the change that they've had, and to break down some of these walls and the relationships that you're talking about. Huron Claws, again, is President of Chief. If you've never heard about it, go to chrisfabrylive.org. We've got a link. Click through today's information. You'll find it right there at chrisfabrylive.org. More questions and comments from Huron Claws are coming up straight ahead here on Moody Radio. Huron Claws is joining us today, and maybe that's one thing that you can do. I know you're not listening to the radio to find more things for you to do and to put on your list, but what if, especially as we come at this time of year, when we're thinking about, you know, Thanksgiving and you see what is the history of, what's the real history of Thanksgiving? And what about Native Americans? What are the, I wonder if on your prayer list you could add something that Huron is talking about here today. And if you go to the website, you'll find it. You'll find something that you can pray about there at the chief website. Click through today's information. You'll see the link right there under Huron's picture at chrisfabrylive.org. And I apologize, Huron, I didn't ask you. I gave your age away at the very beginning of the program because I said you're born on Thanksgiving 1955. Yes. So people who That's do math right. can figure that out, can't they?
Yes. Yes, they can. They'll do it.
All right. Yes. I want you to talk with my friend Heidi. Heidi, what's your question?
Hey, Huron.
Hey, Heidi.
My question for you is you've seen a lot during those years, and what's one of your favorite memories or experiences where you've seen God at work in your life or among the American Native people?
I think that's a good question, and my mind just goes because there's so many examples. I think to kind of give a future of where Chief is going is to see Native peoples catch the vision of nations coming to know the Lord. And I think a real highlight for me was back in the 90s. It was in 1990 that communism fell in Berlin, Germany. The wall fell, okay? We had gotten a visit from a missionary in Canada, and he had actually gone to research a country that we had never heard about called Mongolia. And come to find out, after we had a conversation with him, the people there were just like our Native American people. In the Gobi Desert, in the desert areas, they lived in homes like our Navajos, the round gurs, they call them, or hogans among our Native people. Up in the beautiful mountains, they were the reindeer people, and they lived like our plains do in teepees. And we were invited when communism fell. Communism ruled within Mongolia, and he invited us. He said, "Would you come?" He says, "I believe the Native American First Nations people would be the most effective people in all the world to share the gospel to these people." We went, and it was an incredible experience. We shared the gospel. We were dressed in our Native regalia. We sang our Native hymns, and we were received like never before. We shared to the very first church in that country. There were only about 35 believers. And within 10 years, we saw over 100,000 believers established within that country. We saw the power and the move of God. But what challenges my heart is that the Native individuals that were traveling with us, they saw what God did. They came back. And I'll tell you what, it was like a fire among our Native people to see God begin to work within our own people, within our own churches, within our own tribes. That was one of many of them, but that stirred my heart that day.
Your father has passed away. So if what would he think about Chief today and what you're seeing and what is moving forward? Because when he was in 1973, you know, 52 yes. years ago, he went to Lausanne, Switzerland, that great you yes. know, conference there, and he was right. the only Native in attendance, wasn't he?
That's right. That's right. He was. He was the only North American Native. It was a year later in Albuquerque, Dr. Graham had a crusade in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Dad invited 100 leaders, pastors, tribal chairmen, educators, all Christians. And it was there that Billy said that the Native American's like a sleeping giant, and one day the Native American will arise and bring a national revival, even a global revival. And you know what? Today we're seeing that. In my latter years of ministry, I have seen young men come up to me and they said, Huron, I sense God's call on my life, but I've never gone this way. I've never gone this journey. Would you help me? Okay. And so as I've shared, I've gotten different opportunities to go to share the gospel to similar groups, tribal people. I've been in Africa in last January, in the Philippines. And now what I see is those young leaders carrying the torch to the next generation. So yes, my dad would be happy. He would be proud. He would be praising God because our native people are seeing the glory of God to the nations.
May God raise them up, raise up more and more, and keep that fire going, not just of the emotion, of the feeling, but the power, the visible power of the Holy Spirit in the middle of the living that's going on. And I know there's a lot of hurt and there's a lot of struggle. Absolutely. Everybody feels that. But God can reach into that heart and that life. And Huron, you're just such a treat to get to talk with again. If we had more time here, I'd have you sing. You come back and we'll do that again the next time, okay?
Sounds good. I'll look forward to that, Chris. You take care, brother.
I'll do it. Huron Claus again. Boy, I believe in the ministry of Chief. 50 years old now and growing because people have been faithful to pray and to support and to come alongside. And maybe today is the first time you're hearing about Chief. Go to the website, chrisfabrylive.org, and click through today's information. You can see more right there, chrisfabrylive.org. Tomorrow on the program, you've heard about his groundbreaking book, Boundaries. Dr. Henry Cloud wants to come along and talk about how to have an intimate relationship with Jesus right here on Chris Fabry Live, production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.